Blessings of Light. Welcome this week. We're in class 6-4, the last lesson of the sixth month. This is the 24th encounter, and this month we've been working on blending the higher and lower self. So this week we're going to concentrate on bringing this union together. Now, you not only have to overcome the obstacles of the present and your experience in this lifetime, but you may have karma from past lifetimes or stuck attention from other periods that you're trying to live out now, that you no longer have to be associated with. And so what we're going to do today, we're going to talk about the race of man in its sevenfold nature, and we're going to talk about the different countries and do some time tracking. So find yourself a comfortable position. I know you're all sharing with one another and sharing those magnificent leaps in consciousness that you're making through this training and becoming brighter and brighter, flowing clearer and clearer, getting more mastery of your physical, emotional, mental natures, more flow between you and those people you meet, your relationships with others, and having more dominion over your mind, having a clearer understanding of God, a closer walk with God. So God is the goal. Let's concentrate now back across the epoch of time. Now, time is a matter of duration of a consciousness. And time is a factor that is not the reality of truth in the universe. The time, as we see it, is depending on the light that shines upon the earth. As the sun shines upon the earth and light comes to the earth, what we are doing, we look at that and we cut it up into little pieces. First of all, we cut it in two. We say that the daytime, when the light, the sun is shining, we call that day, and the other part we call night, when we see the universe. But what happens during the day, you're blinded to the universe, so you're only earth conscious, you see. And so it's important to, at night, look up at the stars and look out beyond this earth's atmosphere. Reach way, way, way out with your mind and your consciousness. The ancients used to spend many hours of time just gazing at the heavens and seeing, letting their imagination work. It was just like a big movie screen, and they cast their imagination upon this movie screen. Tracing dots. Do you ever have one of those little puzzles where you trace the dots? You're going on a trip when you were a kid and they gave you one of those and you had to follow the dots. Well, in the ancients, they used to do that and get celestial images and that in the sky. So it was just like following the dots, wasn't it? Now we've taken the game down to a piece of paper. But see, we play that game as ancient beings, and you have the memory and consciousness of your relationship with the cosmos and the universe. You had a clearer relationship with nature in the past, in your soul experiences, than you do now. Now, some of you may not believe in reincarnation. Some of you may believe in reincarnation. I'm not going to have you believe yes or no, because there is a truth of reincarnation. There's a truth of ascension going on the planet. So those truths are not debatable in yes or no. They're facts of life that's going on. The Dalai Lama has proven 14 incarnations. Do you know what he had to do to prove those incarnations? Well, first of all, before he passed away in one life, he had to write a note to the head that was left behind. And in that note, he told of the day, the time, and the place he would reincarnate. Then they went a little step further. All the monks and that would go to the sacred lake high in the Himalaya Mountains, and they would look into the lake, and he would show them a picture after he passed. See, and in the lake would appear a picture of the house and the place where he would be born again. Then on the day of the child's birth, the monks would leave the monastery and they'd go to that home and say, this is the Dalai Lama, and they would take the Dalai Lama and take him back to the monastery, to take him from the parents and take him back to the monastery. The parents were honored to give the child to God and to be a receptacle for this power of the Dalai Lama to come through. Then at age 5, he was led into a room with a lot of objects. His personal objects were scattered among other objects. He had to pick out all of his personal objects from his prior existence. And that's the way he proved that he was the Dalai Lama. And he also told about himself as he grew in his past experiences. He was awakened. See? And he kept this continuum of life going. So that in Tibet, in the Tibetan religion, they practice this reincarnation in a conscious way, and the Dalai Lama stands as a representation, having passed this test for 14 incarnations. So you can argue the power of reincarnation, yes or no. The Western mind is firmly attuned to the ascension flame of Christ, but there are still religions and practices on this planet are still practicing this reincarnation cycle. It's the age to transcend. It's the age to walk with God, to be with God. It's the age of eternal life, the Holy Spirit, God's breath upon the planet. This is the new age, the Holy Spirit's guidance. Can you not see the Holy Spirit in all the master saints and holy beings? Can you not see God's breath of life in all of them? Take a good look. If the Holy Spirit's not there in that master you're following, then go away. Don't be bound in it. It's misleading. It will take you in the wrong direction. Make sure you are following the light of the Holy Spirit. Again, we had the mailman come. Before man became a materialized race of beings upon the planet, he was brought here to take care of this planet. See, like a caretaker. And so the race of humans were brought here as caretakers over the garden. This was God's garden, the whole planet. Now, some would like to have a garden out in the middle of the Pacific or the Atlantic or some other ocean or someplace where down in Africa, some of them say it's down there, you know, they try to pick a spot. Well, this was the garden, and the human race was in their Hyborian racial structure, the first root race of man. See, there are seven races of man. There's seven root races of man. Now, we're not talking about the black people, the yellow people, the red people, in that way. We're talking about humanity manifesting in a race of experience. These are separate races within that race, and each race comes from one of these periods of consciousness. Some are still here. Some have transcended. The first root race ascended after 14,000 years. But the other races have lagged behind. So in the Hyborian race, man was hovering over the planet in a spiritual form, etheric in spirit. He was not now materialized substance. And there was only two polarities. See? There was a male polarity came here first, and then the female polarity was pulled out of the male polarity. So they were still one human in these two, man and woman, male and female polarities. So the Hyborian race had these two polarities, and they would manifest these polarities around and help the animals, the plants, and guide this planet. Because that was their instructions to help this planet, you see. They had the angelic beings that they were with to communicate with God, and they had the elementals who they were guiding along. So when you are in that race, or in that area of consciousness of humanity, in the first humanity, you knew how this all worked. And so when you can awaken this ancient memory, now you know the Jewish people, if you get into the Bible and you read that part, so-and-so begot, so-and-so begot, so-and-so begot, 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 I mean, it goes through pages of begot. That is called their lineage. And a good Jewish man, before he would be accepted into the family, he not only had to get the okay for to marry the girl, but he had to recite his lineage to prove his he came from God, that first step. And so he would do his begots. So-and-so, begot, 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 until he begot here in the present life, you see. And so that was a lineage that he followed. And many masters tuned to their lineages of power. So that race was tuning to the lineage coming from God. And they kept the lineage clear and pure for the whole human race. They aren't the only ones that remembered it, but these are the ones that wrote it down and practiced it, you see. So in the Lemurian continent, it was formed on the planet here. When man had his fall, he fell onto the Lemurian continent, the first materialized, etherealized, spiritual being. They manifested here. They cooperated with nature. They had power over nature. They had one power called Selene, where they could join their minds together and move objects and create things on that continent of Lemuria. There were three distinct areas of that continent. There were people that were seafaring and went all around. There was a mining area. There was an agricultural area. They had two coins. They had a copper coin and a silver coin. The copper coin was worth more than the silver because it was bigger. And they had other kinds of animals that were not that are not on the planet right now. They had a creature that looked something like a dog, but had a bag on that gave milk and was strong enough to pull their carts and on their big wide highways. But they used cosmic power and cosmic energy in cooperation with the in transmuting powers of the Earth to such a point that they caused a hollow place underneath the continent, and the continent then sunk into the ocean. Now the remnants of Easter Island and some of the other islands, Hawaii and that, are the remnants left of this continent of Lemuria. It had a mountain that was 30,000 feet in the air. Now that's the top of it sticking out there in Hawaii. And so there was this continent. And Churchill, a great a man that was studying the study of man, what do you call it, anthropology or something like that, the study of man. He was down in the valley in Mexico, and he started digging down, and he was about 200 feet down, and they were digging through this lava flow, and they found a temple. And so they cleared the temple, and they got it all there, and it was kind of a horseshoe shape with a gate across the front, and they had rooms in there, and they had little templates, as well as a courtyard with an altar in it and a place to speak from. And one of the rooms had an altar platform there, and they were taking some pictures, and the camera pod got caught in this crack. So they tried to get the camera out, and when they did, they pulled up the floor right there, a stone that was there. And in there, they found a box with these tablets from Lemuria. And so it took them several years to decipher the writing on there, and it told all of the things that I've just told you. And so you can study that and by Churchill and find out more about Lemuria, the children of Mu, the cosmic forces of Mu, the lost continent of Mu, Lemuria, Mu. That's the continent there. And so the human came, and they were in that stage of the of development, the first physical race of beings, and they were in cooperation with the elemental forces, and they began to move and populate the Earth. They went when the continent was falling. They went into China. They went into Africa. They went into South America. They went into North America. They went around to the various places. They left that continent. The next great epic of humanity came in the period of Atlantis, which was about 53,000 years ago. Now, about 53,000 years ago, the continent of Atlantis was thriving. Here, men were using now cosmic forces again. And they were creating light structures. They had temples of light. They had an ability to draw light from the cosmic through their bodies and create a dish of light under them where they could float along the ground. And they could also travel over the water, over the ground, and that with this disk of light, a theracalized energy that had an anti-gravitational field drawn from cosmic energies to pull them up in cosmic to counteract gravity of the Earth. And they were able to channel this through their nervous system. Beings then used to go to the Temple of Light, and the whole family would go and have their auras charged with the same light structure. So there were priests of light and energy at that particular time upon the planet. They had crafts that were lighter than aircrafts that they also used. Now remember, there were still primitive people on the planet from the first root race that didn't leave the Lemurian people. There were still some of these on the planet, and they were closer to the Earth, while these people were developing the second chakra, the emotional structure. The first people developed the first chakra. So each root race is coming along developing one of these chakras. See, we're in the fifth root race, most of us that are looking at this consciousness and teaching now, and the sixth root race is manifesting on the planet at this time. You'll find the children coming at a different level than the ones that are here. But before we get there, let's finish with Atlantis. Now, Atlantis had great powers, cosmic energies. They had ability to break free of the Earth, and some of them did leave this planet and left the Earth at that particular time. This is what the Akashic records show. Now, to read the Akashic Records, you need to stimulate your parasympathetic level of your nervous system, go to that level of light, seeing the light, and then direct your attention to a specific time and date and circumstance. And as you focus, then you will be able to see. Otherwise, you may have touched upon that record where you just have a bunch of flashing pictures so fast that you can't really see them. You say, when you go to fix on them, they're flashing so fast. You might have had that kind of meditation. That means you looked at the records, but you didn't focus. You need to have a specific time to focus and to hold yourself there. Now, see, you go back across time, but then when you focus, you start moving back towards this existence, this time. And so you'll read the record as you come back towards the body. See, it's an automatic flow. But you must project yourself there and then let yourself come back to your body automatically. So you can read the records of Atlantis or any of the great places. So man came in that root race of the first the Hyborian race, then Lemurian race, and then the Atlantean race, and then we had the Aryan race came after that, and most of us are here in the Aryan consciousness, moving up into that fifth root race consciousness, the mixture of the consciousness, and then in the fifth root race we had the Caucasian, the white race. So we came from the black to the yellow to the red to that olive color to that white race of people, and so each one of these is part of the one humanity. One is no more important or less important than any other. All come from the same human. They all come from the same human consciousness and beings. We are all one in the soul of humanity. But as we progressed in different places, we took on different forms. The races came, they were all alike to begin with, and they took on these different forms due to the circumstance of where they're at. And so this changed the structure, the genes of their bodies, so they could adapt to that particular area. Some had more fire in the hotter parts of the planet. Some had more cold in that part. Some had to have that heaviness over the eyes, the fat over the eyes, to protect them against the winter and the severe winters and the intensity of the summers. See where they had that severe winters and severe summers where they went back and forth and they had to have that kind of protection. And some had to have protection against the sun and protection against the environment. And so we adapt to different energies. Soon there will be a being that walks this planet who has a perfected nervous system that is clear and pure, and they are in a light body and they're no longer bound in a flesh body. And so that's the reign of when Christ comes, or the beings of light come to the planet, or the return of light comes to the surface of the planet, then humanity will move back into that ascended state of light, and then they'll return to their eternal life, you see. And so that seventh root race is the light being of humanity returning to the purity and being one with God. As you move now, you have moved also through many different epochs of consciousness. You had the Hyborian, you had the Lemurian, you had the Atlantean, the Aryan, we have the now race that's going on, and now we have the future, the light beings. And so you may have had experiences in these races, in these areas of consciousness when man manifests. If you dwell on that particular period, you will draw back awareness from that period. Now, there was one point where I was following my past life, and I went back, and I went back, and I went back, and realized I was a manifestation from God, where God manifested me as an individualization. Then I've continued since that point to go back and see myself in composite beingness, where I was a uniform composite being. Oneness of humanity, oneness of this particular solar system, oneness of this nebulae structure, oneness with the light and energy of all creation. So you have greater and greater and greater and greater expansion in consciousness. As I was doing this, there was one point when I reached this cosmic universal level where I realized all past lives were my past life, and that there was no difference. So the individual entity was ascended and brought to that point of the universal being, the compositeness of oneness. And when you are moving in cosmic consciousness and higher unity to the unified field of God's consciousness, then you will find yourself as all people at all times and all places, you see, because there is only one. You'll find yourself back in the oneness of humanity. Then you'll see you are all the people, and you're black, you're white, you're red, you're yellow, you're all the colors. To be against yourself in any way as a universal being. is, you know, the prejudice in that is to keep the human race separated. The negative forces love to keep us fighting at one another. You know, it's going to go on here until we ascend in that last epic. Now, each true grace is supposed to overcome the temptations of the earth, go through the 12 cycles of the heavens, and then ascend. They had the 2,000 years, the 12 cycles of the heaven, and ascension was 14,000 years. They were supposed to ascend. Well, some stayed behind. Not only that, this planet's been invaded by other beings. Beings that come in here and taken human bodies on. They've come here and they're laggards from other places. And they work their little magics and things, and the people put them in awe. But they were not really from the human beings. They were demons and beings, laggards, that were behind, and they started polluting the race. So there are laggards on this planet. You ever see someone that had nothing behind the eyes? When you look at them, there's a vacancy there. There's nothing there. The spirit is gone. That thing is walking around automatic. It's open for possession. Did you ever see one with a fire of demons coming out of them? Yes, you have. So there are creatures that are walking around in human bodies which are not human. You can believe this or not. But the truth is the truth. God knows the truth. So as we came through these epics, we developed a chakra, the chakra. The now race is developing this third eye, see? The last race was creativity. Look at all the creativity, the industrial, the atomic, all of this creativity went on in these last hundreds of years, you see? And now we're coming to that vision, the seeing beyond the limitations of the earth, beyond the limitations of this time and space. Now, you may have experienced on the different experience platforms here on the earth. The first platform that man was experiencing was there in Lemuria. And so if you dwell on Lemuria, you concentrate on Lemuria, that time period. Now we give you a name. See, some called it Mu, M-U, that continent of Mu. Some call it Lemuria. Well, Mu comes from the word Lemuria. If you look at the word Lemuria, you will see Mu in it. It's right after the Li, Mu, Ria. So they, for short, they called it the continent of Mu. Well, this is when we first came. There was the Brotherhood of the Red Tree at that time. I remember the Brotherhood of the Red Tree when mankind would stand around the tree and sit there and be given the counsel of heaven and the powers of light, and that was manifested through the great beings that held that connection. While we were industrious, creating and working and moving around, we would come together in this association of the Red Tree, the Brotherhood of the Red Tree, and there we would learn. And learn about the earth and its power. See, in your root chakra is that consciousness of that highest vibration of spirituality that you receive then. That's what you want to recapture. You want to have all of the spiritual and creative levels, universal levels, open. You don't want to get bound up in the personalities that you were in. You want to have that pureness of the universal fields so you can use that power now. You know, you can have the power of the past come through now. I remember sitting in a meditation in a class similar to these kind of classes. Not exactly, because we asked for the next step along the line. And so I was sitting there and I was given the wands of healing power from the past. They come into my hands. And it was like a wands of light in my hands. I could hardly hold them. And a lady was sitting next to me. Her name was Mary Cranny. She started levitating off of her seat. And it was very interesting. Several people in the room did levitate. And it was a very powerful experience. I was having my experience. Everybody was having dynamic experiences. In fact, we were going through a spiritual dynamic type training. And that's what happened to many of us. Many of us had past life awarenesses and powers come to us. And I remember my grandmother come and releasing powers of the past to me at that time. You have assistance for your evolution at this time. If you ask, you shall receive. Say, God, guide me, protect me, illuminate the lamp of my heart. Make me a brilliant star. Thou art the Almighty and the Powerful. So God has power, and He can awaken you. Now to go back, we do a time-tracking type of consciousness, or a reassociation with prior vibrations. Now remember, when you're looking at these things, you will know who you are when you can look out of the eyes of the individual in that time period. If you cannot see through their eyes and you can only see the whole picture, you are not in that body. But when you can look out of that body, or a body at that time period, that was the body you were in at that particular point. You're greater than the body, your spirit, your eternal existence. Don't deny your eternal existence. So, there's a reincarnation cycle, there's an ascension cycle. Many took the ascension cycle and broke the life and death cycle and ascended to God. They were translated and lifted. See, but now's the time for humanity to make this great translation to light. There should be such a vibratory rate that the unified field is subject to spiritual transitions, and this will touch many human beings. When this happens, people disappear right off the street. Husbands will disappear from wives across the table. Wives will disappear from husbands. Children will disappear. People will be translated in consciousness. People leaving the planet now in translation, a lot of people don't even realize it. There are whole groups of people have disappeared. There was one group that was following these two people, and they left in light. They were told they were going to leave in light. They sold all their possessions, everything, and they went out the desert and disappeared. Nobody's heard of them since. So there's many extraordinary experiences going on the planet. We get so caught up in just our everyday life and what's happening now, we don't awaken this ancient memory. See, you can have the sum total of the heritage of humanity. So just don't get caught in that one existence that you went in and out of. Realize you're the totality of humanity experiencing all. Experience all that humanity's ever experienced. You have the access to that power. When you put your mind, the universal mind of man, the collective subconsciousness of humanity. The collective subconsciousness of humanity. Now, in order to reach these higher states of consciousness and to understand these root races and that, there's two techniques. First of all, we must go, let's go to the board here and look at our figure. Our figure is a man with the chakras there, or a being with the chakras. You know, we didn't make him a man or woman, we just made him a universal being, you see. And what it says here, it says, feel, think, and know, this is objective consciousness. And at the brow, it says, and the crown, it says, seeing, being, this is perception. So we want to have objectivity and perception. Objectivity and perception. Objectivity, so that we can relate these energies. Now you notice that the root chakra is open. And you notice that the throat chakra is open. Because we want to have this violet fire of these two places in action here. We want to join the violet fire. We want to join the blue of the throat chakra, the red of the root chakra, to have a violet transmutation glow, to see where our spirit was in matter. That higher mind or mental energy, where the creative power was, the spirituality was, and where the physical body was. So we can have this higher mind and spiritual consciousness. So we leave these energies open for receptive, and then we assertively become objective and perceptive. We do everything in our power to maintain objectivity and perceptive energy in order to let this energy of the past affect the throat chakra, because this is where you pick it up. The past experiences were in the vibration of the higher mind. They're not in your thinking mind, you see, unless you pull them in there and think about them. But their location is in the throat chakra. And then the physical chakra has memory. So as you take and hook these two together, you get ancient memory. You see, when you leave these two chakras open, and you actively point the others. You're pointing your feelings and your thoughts and your knowing towards a particular period. And then as you see, this is the assertive part, and then the seeing and being is you be that. When you project yourself there, you feel your being all of that, not just staying objective now. To get perception in spiritual, you merge with it by being it. And the psychic level, you merge with it objectively, but in the spiritual level, you merge with it subjectively. And so you're making a subjective merger here, and you're seeing from your beingness, your monadic structure. When we're talking about being, we're talking about your monad, your archetype, your spirit body, your atma, as they say in the East, the atma, that spark of divinity in you, God in you, that the holy breath of life in you. You know, there's many ways of saying that. The seed atom, you know, in some of the Buddhist training, they call that the seed atom. And that particular atom vibrates and tells all the other atoms what to do. you see? And so we are concentrating in this way. Now, as we concentrate in this way, we want to look at the past. So here's the technique. First technique was to be objective and perceptive. The second technique is to be tracker, to track yourself, to track your life. Now, trackers, if you've ever seen an old Western, you see the Indian trackers, they're really paying attention. They pay attention to everything. There's broken leaf, crushed grass, doo-doo on the ground or something. You know, they passed this way just so long ago. Still steam coming from this horse dung. You know, things like that. See, you have to pay attention to everything to see how long it's been there, these kind of things, every movement. And you do this from the point of perception. See, you're objective and perceiving. So tonight, you would take and look this day over. Now tomorrow night, you look this day and tomorrow over. The next day, you look this day, tomorrow, and the next day over. You see, you go back, and you do this for a week. See, now at the each day, you're going back. Now when you get to the end of the week, what you do is instead of going back 1 week, you go back last month on that day, see, a month. Then you go the next day, you go last year on that day. Then the next day, you go 5 years ago on that day. See, but you're bringing all these other days along so that you keep a vivid fix in this time, space, and circumstance. But you can get very spaced out, you see. You can just go there and expand, and it'll be hard for you to get grounded again. So you do this systematically. Then after you've done the 5 years, then you go back and you do 10 years, then you do 50 years, then you do 100 years, then you go back to where you want to go back. You say, what was happening in the 1900s? What was happening in 1800s, 17, 15? And go back to the year zero when Christ was born. That's, you know, we take the calendar off of Christ's birth. And so we have that power there from that time period. And remember, there's 11 days missing in this calendar. When it went from the Julian calendar to the Pope Gregory calendar, there was 11 days change, you see, and just wiped out. So some people are still celebrating Christmas in January, you see. But others say, well, Christ was born in the spring. He wasn't born at Christmas time at all. So there's a lot of arguments. Well, we've agreed that the 25th is his birthday, and that's when we celebrate. You notice you don't even celebrate Washington's birthday on Washington's birthday anymore, do you? Or some people on their regular birthdays, governments move them around, don't they? So we play with time and space and circumstance. Don't play with time and space and circumstance. You must keep a clear, objective, and perceptive awareness. If you go back on your record and say you did some negative thing when you were a child, if you look at that from another point of view, you change your record. And now, when you come back to your body, you're going to react different because you've changed the basic record you're reacting out of. That's how we clear the old records in post and meditative suggestion. Remember that? And so as we're clearing these old records, we get a new association. When you're looking, be objective and perceptive. Do not get personally involved. Do not get involved with these things. They are not the greatness of the presence. You've grown since that time period. Who would want to go back to a lesser time? Would you like to go back when you just before you knew your ABCs, you know, or something like that? No, you don't want to go back. See, we're forward-moving beings. We're constantly going to God. Backward movement is demonic. Forward movement is spiritual. Be here now as human. So be here. You're human now, now, now. And as you keep this openness and you go back and go back, you go back to the very beginning when God created the heavens and the earth, as Christ said, I am before the world was, and you can have this consciousness and realization. It's tremendous. You overcome many things. But one thing it does give you, it gives you ability to read others' past records. But first you must read your own. You must stay objective, because there's going to be times when you seem you were a real bugger. You might have cut somebody up to pieces. You might have blown them up. You might even ate somebody. Oh my goodness, wouldn't that be terrible? So look at that. No, just stay objective and detached. There was cannibalism on this planet. There was man against man. There was brother against brother. There were great wars and battles on this planet where you may have been blown to pieces. And if you identify, you could have an emotional shock. You could have a mental shock. That's why you need to stay objective and detached in that receptive awareness. You're moving with your heart and head. You're not getting bound in the personality. You're assertive, so nothing comes into that will and feelings. You're reaching out with your will and feelings rather than open and receptive. Where you're open and receptive is at the root chakra and at the throat chakra. And the center of the crown is open, you see, up to God. The crown is opening up to God there. You're in the beingness of the crown center. And so your being is always one with God, you see. So never forget you're one with God as you're going over this record. Well, you can have some very traumatic experiences. Because there's a thing that happens. As you go over it, it becomes more vivid. And it can be just as real as standing or sitting in this room you're in right at this moment. It can be that acute to the sense when you have clairsensory. It can be that clear to your hearing when you have clairaudio. It can be that clear to your seeing when you have clairvoyance. You're using clairvoyance. You have used clairvoyance since the beginning of this class. Ever since you've been looking at the colors, you've used clairvoyant power. You see, you were still looking to become clairvoyant? Well, you already are. See, you have been working with this power ever since the beginning. Everything we've been doing is to give you basis and power for your spiritual abilities, for your psychic abilities, for your creative abilities, for your oneness with God. We've been working to bring that about. Let grace flow over you, God's power and perception. Another way to find out where you have been or your associations, you can sit in front of a mirror and look at yourself. Now, where you look is not into either eye. You look right between your eyes at the center of your forehead. And you concentrate there until you feel an energy moving between the mirror and your forehead. And you concentrate there. Then you feel your throat chakra open. Now you put your mind on something. Say you wanted to see the life of Lemuria. You put your mind on Lemuria, and then you will go towards that energy. You'll be moving in your individuality, in that universal field, towards that consciousness. See, everything that's ever been is still going on. Everything that's ever gone on is still going on. Understand that. But it's not going on in the physical way that you see here. Now it's going on in life. Every word you've ever said, you can't take one back. You can't take one word back. You can't take one action back. The only thing you can do if you didn't like that or don't want to go that way is don't do it again. Remember? Don't do it again. Ooh, that hurts, doesn't it? So don't do it again. Don't go in that direction you do not want to go. Keep your mind steady. Attention, concentration, observation, meditation, contemplation, super conscious, cosmic, conscious mind. You have this whole unit of the path to enlightenment all operating as one unit focused at that particular time. There is no other time, no other space. Everything else is dissolved to that focus. It's just like looking at a tree and then focusing on the leaf of the tree. See, it's just concentration. And the whole path to enlightenment is degrees of concentrated consciousness. And so as you get to that universal level, that's concentrated consciousness on the universal form. So you can go and see if you were in Lemuria or Atlantis or Egypt or Persia or China or India or South America, North America, whether you've been on the South Pole, the North Pole, in Europe, in Asia, in Southeast Asia. Find out where you've been. Find where you got connection. You know, sometimes you feel drawn towards a particular area on the planet. There may be some right resolve there you need to do, or you may be needing to collect some powers. I had to go to Hawaii to collect powers. I couldn't have my powers as long as I was on the mainland structure. I had to go out in the middle of the ocean and not be bound by certain vibratory rates of principalities in order for myself to reach those levels, because I had to be removed from what I was attached to and bound in. So I was completely removed from all my surroundings and taken to Hawaii, and there was enlightened and given the information. You may have to get off your position, go up and set in the, take a weekend and go into a retreat, a spiritual retreat someplace. Someplace you can be silent, you can do this practice uninterrupted. Because you may be 5 hours, you may be 10 hours in this entranced state. see. But it'll only seem like moments to you. If you had the meditation where you say, oh, gee, am I ever going to get into meditation? And then you realize you've been at it for an hour, you see. And other times you say, gee, this has really been a long time. It's only been a couple minutes. Because the time and space consciousness is not in the spirit level. It's not binding the spirit level. It only binds the personality. It's only a mental concept. Time's only a mental concept. What's 24 hours a day to Mars? What's 24 hours a day to Jupiter, Saturn, or the Sun, or any other planet out there? This is the 24 hour a day. We've agreed to that system. And some people put them under the system. See, you should be above the system. Any systems, you should be above it and use those systems as you come into manifestation and come back out into that pureness of spirit. Remember, you are a spiritual being operating here upon the earth. You are not no longer bound up by the law of the human body. This is the temple of God. This is where the spirit is residing in this human body. You're not the body, you're not the emotions, you're not the mind. You are spirit divine. So in this time tracking, you can search and find an area of consciousness, and you may have powers from that particular time. I picked up powers from India. I picked up powers from Egypt. I picked up powers from China and Persia, from the Nordic countries, from Southeast Asia, all over Southeast Asia, the Northern American continent with the shamans. I picked up power there with the Mayans and the Aztecs. I picked up power in those areas. So be free in your scanning. This is called scanning. When you look at those areas, you scan with your mind, and you pick up and agree with the things. If you see great power, you agree with that great power for yourself now, you see? And you draw it into this time and space and circumstance. You've seen a great healer? See yourself healing now. You've seen a great minister? See that minister now. See a great teacher? See that teacher now. I saw great teachers along the way, and I became a teacher. I saw great ministers, I became a minister. I saw great healers, I became the healer, teacher, minister for this church and school. May God's great and Holy Spirit guide you. May you all live and move and have your being in the light. Blessings of light. Here I am gazing again. This week's gaze is to gaze on the hand. We look at the hand, and then we move the hand and stay looking right at that atmosphere right there. See what that's like? You look at your hand, then you remove your hand, and don't let your gaze go through to the wall. Don't let your gaze go. You want to hold your gaze right where your hand was. And you'll notice that things look differently as you're gazing at that part. See? You put your hand there, and you hold it right there. You're seeing different. You may be seeing like there's doubles and things like that out there. But your mind will start putting this clearer together. You're gazing on the atmosphere. So you're centering by putting your hand there, and then you're holding your attention there. That's so you can go in different depths of auric structure, different depths of light. And so this practice this week is very important to do this gaze on the hand and the atmosphere of the planet. The atmosphere of the room, the atmosphere of the planet. You can do this outside, sitting on the beach, sitting on the mountain, sitting in the desert, anywhere you want to do it, on your front porch, gaze on the atmosphere. Pretty soon you'll see these little speckly lights moving around in there. You might have already seen them. This is prana, life force, and you'll begin to see those. You'll see how they come together and make images and forms, and how they dissipate, how they come together and dissipate. You begin to see the power of the life force, the prana, the mana, the vital force energies, the biocosmic plasma. You begin to see this substance and get a closer relation with it. Isn't it beautiful to see the angels of light? Thank God for their appearances. And the breath this week is the breath in the crown and out the brow. 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 See it, feel it, be it. See it, feel it, be it. The symbol this week is the... What is our symbol this week? Is the points of the astrophysics logos to see the whole logos. Now what you do is you don't be assertive. You just get in your meditative posture and you relax and you say, mind, run the bridge. Then the mind will run the bridge. You'll go over each bridge, you'll go through all the symbols, and they'll all come together as the logos. And then when you see the logos, you want to concentrate on this. What you have done, you've encapsulated information and consciousness in universal power of God, in individualized power, and universal expression. You've learned how to use these powers in 21 movements. This is the 22nd movement. This shows that you have willpower. You have stability of the third eye now by doing this exercise. Keeping up your rhythms is important. Now you let it happen. All the other times we're going over the rainbow bridge, over the solar bridge, taking each symbol at a time. Now what you do is sit, let your photographic memory, see, we've been training your photographic memory instead of your sense memory. Your photographic memory, now bring it back to you, run that again. So you asked your mind to give it. Now maybe the mind's a little sluggish. You may have not practiced as diligently as you should have. Be firm. Say, give me all that you have. You must correct the spots that your mind is weak in. Strengthen it till it's one solid movement. Now you have an ability to sequentially unfold any images. Do plans for relationship, plans for business, plans for career. Put your plans ahead by visualizing one connected to the other, sequential patterns until you have the whole project. Concentrate now until you get the astrophysics logos. May God's great and Holy Spirit guide you. May you all live and move and have your being in the light. I want to thank you for coming to astrophysics and being with us. Have courage and persist. You will succeed. I am a success. I am a success. I am a success. I am a success. I am a success.